broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen. Coming to you, I don't know where, anywhere. I don't even know where I'm at today.
Coming at you, well, we're just here, guys.
We're good, buddy. Yeah.
We're just here. I knew that was my little opportunity to jump in there, but, you know, I need to come up with the, you know, when you always, you bring in the same line, you know, you come in with my amazing partner,
Matt Sorensen.
Matt Sorensen, and I need to like have like a,
an amazing
tagline. I need like a tagline or something when I come in, you know.
You could say, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Mark Kohler. See?
Oh, okay.
Throw the love back.
Switcheroo. Oh, okay. Is that how you do it? Okay. Yeah.
Now, for those of you that have never listened to us before, you may be thinking, these guys are jokesters. What am I doing? Hey, give us 10 more seconds. What we are all about is saving taxes, building wealth, protecting your assets, building your business, American dream, all the above. We try to keep it fun, interesting. I'm a CPA and an attorney. Matt is a tax attorney specializing in retirement planning, and we've got a sweet law firm, a sister accounting firm, our trust company, self-directing IRAs and SEPs and HSAs and 401ks. Okay, I tried to make it sound as sexy as possible.
Yeah.
Do you think we kept our new listeners? I hope that's it.
But that's not it. And we will throw in some knives. No.
Yeah, there's more.
There's more, but wait, there's more. Well, thanks so much for being with us. I'm excited for the topic today. This is a geeky topic, but let me just say there are two words that, you know, really get Mark and I excited, and those words are tax-free. How do you make money tax-free in the U.S.? You either commit tax fraud and end up in prison, like Wesley Snipes, or you use a Roth IRA. We're going to talk about the second one.
Yeah,
first one's another podcast.
That's another podcast. Well, you had me at tax, so thank you, Mr. Sorensen. And if you've started to listen to our podcast, it is our goal of every show to quote at least two or three movies. And right there, check Jerry Maguire off the list. You had me at tax. So
yeah, that's an easy one. We got to get some new ones in.
Well, yeah.
I'm committed by the end of the show to have a new one I've never dropped before.
Ooh, you're going to quote a new movie before the end of the show.
I'm going to do it.
All right. I'm waiting. I'm interested. Okay. The topic is the Roth IRA and a deep dive. We're going to take you deep into the Roth IRA. We just realized earlier before we started recording the show that even some of our own special podcasts that we like to listen to just cover, touch the surface. They're kind of 30,000 foot view type podcasts, and we don't want to be accused of that. So today we're going to try to do everything Roth IRA in 30 minutes or so, once, if not closer to 45 minutes, once we get into the topic. We really want to break it down and think of any possible question you might ask about Roths and help you even understand what they are. A lot of times I'm at a little workshop and there's newer people that are like, I'm new to all this. What's a freaking Roth, you know? And so we're going to start general and then dive in deep.
Yeah. And we got good news for those people that have thought, oh, I make too much money, I can't do a Roth. The Roth's not for me. No, we're going to debunk some of the myths too. And we'll let you know how you can get there and do a Roth.
That's so a good
there's
point.
There's something for everyone here.
Yeah, some of you that are like, well, this I can't even do a Roth. I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to stay for the tax and legal tip of the week and get off. Oh, no, we got some good stuff. So,
stay tuned. Yeah. Well, should we rattle off? We got some tax tips. I think we're going to double up on the tax tips today because April 15th is like 10 days away, depending on when you're catching this podcast.
Yeah, whether you're in Australia or here, whatever.
Yeah, it's imminent, guys. It's coming. It's it's happening. So I want to give some last minute tax tips on things you can do between now and April 15th. Of course, we love you to be thinking about this in December or earlier, so you can do some tax planning and make some things happen in the tax year, which is where most tax savings really occur. But I just want to throw out a couple things you to be thinking about before the April 15th deadline hits.
I like it. And I think we're going to have to play the tax riff twice because we really went into the studio with our electric guitars to come up with that one. And so we're proud of it. We're going to do it. So who's first, Matt? You choose.
I'll go first.
Okay. All right. Well, let's set it up.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, of course, you know I'm going to talk about retirement accounts. Can you blame me? I know we're even talking about Roth IRAs today, but April 15th is the last day you can make contributions to a Roth IRA, traditional IRA, SEP IRA for year 2018. I like to tell a lot of people this is the time to double contributions because you can throw money in for 18 and 19 right now. So now
I'm going to correct you before you go too far. Yeah. You said and SEP IRA. Now I think you're going to amend that point in a big way here in a moment, but.
Yes. Sorry. I'm going to throw out the SEP IRA. That's going to be a little bonus tip.
Yeah, that's a bonus. It is not the deadline for the SEP, but you may think it is. So there's a way around that.
Okay. It is and it isn't. Yeah.
There you go.
It isn't. So for your traditional IRA and your Roth IRA, you have until April 15th. Now the contribution amount for 2018 was 5,500. We went up to 6,000 in 2019, but you got 5,500 on those. You've got to get them in by April 15th for your traditional and your Roth. Now your SEP too, I'm going to talk about that in a second here. If you're filing your tax return on April 15th or by that time, you need to be contributing for 2018 by April 15th. Now think about this for I'm not thinking about this just for you. What about your kids? Did you pay your kids last year? Maybe you're doing some of the great tax strategies we love to implement where you paid your kids last year. Hey, why don't you drop some money in a Roth IRA for them? Maybe your kids are teenagers and they got their own little job. You know, they're getting a W-2 working part-time at the movie theater or whatever. They did landscaping over the summer or sold stuff, whatever. Maybe you help them drop $5,500 into a Roth IRA if they had some earned income in 2018. So a couple things just to keep in mind, but the deadline is April 15th. Even if you extend your tax return, the deadline is still April 15th for the SEP and for the traditional and the Roth IRA. Now, okay. The SEP IRA gets a little different discussion because on the SEP, the deadline is April 15th unless you extend. So if I extend my tax return, I get to extend the ability to contribute via the SEP. Now the SEP is huge if you're self-employed, generally with no other employees, or you've had employees for only up to 3 years, you can do the SEP IRA. You can put up to 56 grand into it. You can self-direct it. You can buy real estate and all the cool stuff we love our clients to do. And that is a great option. Now, if you've listened to prior shows, you know we love the solo K over the SEP IRA, but I'm sorry, if you want to make 2018 contributions in a solo K, you missed the deadline. You need to have that set up in 2018 by December 31st. So a lot of times we're doing the SEP in 2019 for your 2018 contributions. It's kind of a fix it, but it's a way to still get a lot of retirement plan contributions done for 18.
May the representative of Idaho, put a rider on your statement.
Okay. All right. Without objection.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Sorensen from Arizona. I
like that I'm a senator and you're a representative.
That's true. That kind of sucks.
You picked it.
I'm stuck now, I guess. I'm a representative. Okay. What joint committee are we in? Okay. So any political junkies are like, you guys are idiots. Okay. So here's the deal. For the SEP, I want to add, I shot a video on YouTube titled, I Screwed Up and Have to Do a SEP. Some of you old school accountants may be offended by that because you're a true believer in the SEP strategy. So I just want to make this point as well. You get a much more efficient bang for your buck doing a solo 401k rather than a SEP. And the trick is saving on self-employment tax, Watch my video on YouTube if you'd like the details of that. But what Matt and I love to do is if you're stuck and you still want to write off for last year, but you don't have the cash to put in the money, extend, take your time, make a contribution in the summer, get a write-off for last year's taxes, then set up a solo 401k on day two, and then roll over the SEP into the new solo 401k. So you literally only have the SEP for just a few days or a week until you can roll it into the new solo 401k and then make your contribution more efficiently for 2019 in the 401k, but you've doubled down in a sense. And that is a really common fix that we do for clients that are in this quandary, where they've kind of been sold on the SEP over the years, and now they see the efficiency of the 401k, but they're stuck this year. Anyway, Matt, is that writer acceptable?
Yeah, love that.
Okay. All right.
That is acceptable. It is approved.
Okay.
And we'll go to the president for signature.
Okay.
All right. Now, you got a tax tip? Are we going to really play the guitar again?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to say, Matt, that was a great tip. And a lot of people out there who are new to saving, I want to make this point too, though. Sometimes we get into the technical jargon of savings and tax strategies, but we don't talk about the financial concept here that Dave Ramsey would. Matt and I are huge Dave Ramsey fans. We think he's definitely got an important voice for representing millions of Americans out there that need to save more. We like to take it to the next level and talk about small business on top of Ramsey strategies. So we're not taking away from Dave Ramsey at all. We just want to add to his important messages. But the one I love of his, and I make kids watch it all the time, is The Power of Compound Interest. If any of you out on YouTube have not watched this, just put in Ramsey Compound Interest. That'll get it brought up. It's a 4.5 minute video. Amazing. I can't count how many times I've watched it and shared that with people in workshops, in family, at church, everywhere. That power is so amazing. When you start saving $50 a month, $100 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever economic situation you're in, you should always be trying to save something. I don't care if it's $10 a month. Set up an app on your phone, start the Roth account, start saving. And this concept of being able to do it in a tax-preferred way through an IRA or a Roth or a 401k only puts it on steroids. So what Matt and I are talking about is just taking what Dave Ramsey is teaching and what all of us should be doing of saving and adding a tax savings concept on top of just a good savings habit. Whew, that was a mouthful, Matt. Anything?
Yeah. Yeah, that was so important. I mean, we do skip that. We just take that as a given, that's appreciated. And I think, one thing this little observation is used to do a little more estate planning, back in the day. And I'd look at clients' estates and I'd be like, man, you got a really big retirement account and, you've got a lot of equity, you got some rental properties. It was just discipline over the years, maxing it out, throwing it in. They were saving taxes at the time on traditional accounts. But over time, those accounts really blossom. When you think 10, 20, 30 years of doing that, that's when I was getting a lot of people that just had regular jobs. They weren't, making $500,000 a year. Maybe they were making low six figures or barely breaking six figures, but they had $1 million, $2 million in net worth when we're doing their estate plan. And they were just throwing this money away little by little, trying to max out where they could. And that money grew. And now they're reaping the benefits of it, have the comfort and security in retirement, don't have to stress about it. And it's because of that compounding that they get over time and just letting it ride, being disciplined on getting it in, meeting their deadlines so that they can max out how much they get in.
Yep. Well, great comment. All right. Well, let's dive into a second tax tip right before the filing deadline.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. The tax tip I want to share is the health savings account contribution. Now, this is one that you cannot extend or delay with a filing and extension. You've got to make this contribution by April 15th. And if you had a high deductible health care plan last year in 2018, you are allowed to open an HSA and contribute to an HSA before April 15th. Now, do not think that your employer has to do this for you. Do not think that they're going to do it for you or match it or anything. As long as you even had a day job with a high deductible plan, which is approximately $1,500 deductible if you're single, $3,000 deductible if you're a family. If you had a high deductible plan last year anywhere, then you can go to a bank. You can go to our trust company, directedira.com, and set up an HSA in the next 10 days and put in $3,450 if you're single or $6,900 if you're head of household or married. That deduction is on the front page of your tax return. No AGI limits, no phase out. You get a tax deduction right off the top of your tax return, no matter who you are.
And you don't need to be itemizing. Even if you're taking the standard deduction, you're still getting it.
That's right. Doesn't even matter if you itemize. So the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, TCJA, plays right into the HSA. Donald Trump even talked about the health savings account in his State of the Union address, his first one after being elected. This is a really wonderful way to save for healthcare. You can take the money out day two. So you could literally, guys, in the next 10 days, you could put the money in, create the tax deduction, and on day two, take it back out and pay off your credit card. But you have to have at least, you know, you have to take it out for medical expenses you incurred last year or now. So you can put in money now and reimburse yourself for medical expenses you had last year. It's amazing. Yeah. If you're going to launder money, this is how you do it. You just put it in, take it out. Boom. It's clean. You just clean the money.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ozark.
Go to Netflix, watch Ozark. Yeah. For, you know, a little more detail on that.
Yeah. Better Call Saul. This is it.
That's right, man.
It's going in the safe. So that's my tip. Just fund your HSA. If you need to know more about it, get over to my YouTube channel, type in Kohler HSA, and you'll see a couple sweet little vids there. You can learn a little bit more about it. This is a chapter in my book, The Tax and Legal Playbook. You can get it on Amazon Prime, Kindle, or audiobook within minutes, and just read the chapter on healthcare planning.
Love it.
All right, Matt, should we jump into our topic of the day?
Let's do it. Let's get right on it. I just need directions to our next big failure. That was a movie quote thrown in Tommy Boy there. that one was a little forced. But,
yeah, Matt went to school for a long time. We call those doctors.
Yeah, that's right.
So
lots of people go to school for 9 years called doctors.
Yeah, I can live with Tommy Boy quotes.
Tommy Boy quotes are great. We'll maybe throw one or two more in today. But
I mean, we can put a traditional IRA in a box and stamp, you know, guaranteed on it.
But if it ain't got Roth on it,
it's not a Roth.
Tax-free, man. some of you that are not see the words tax-free on the box.
Yeah, we want
tax on the box.
Exactly. Well, okay. I want to just make this one intro before I hand Matt the baton here for the main topic of the show. For those out there that this concept of Roth is foreign, this is a great way to save money tax-free because you don't get a tax deduction on the way in. But if you open up a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts, it grows tax-free in anything you invested in, and then it comes out tax-free at age 59 and a half or 5 years from the date you set up the account, whichever's later. So if you are 55, you're going to have to wait till you're age 60 to pull money out. And there is a concept that if you invest it in an operational business, you might pay what's called UBIT tax, and we'll get into that too. But in general, everybody, before you tune out, the Roth grows tax-free, comes out tax-free generally, and it's one way that is to have completely asset-protected money growing for you for the future. And no matter how smart you think you are or what business you have and how great you are in real estate, having a Roth on the side is another arrow in the quiver. It's another iron in the fire. It's another way to diversify.
Sharpest arrow, man.
Yeah.
It's deadly. It is.
Yeah. Don't discount it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Matt, you're the man. You lead off.
All right. Well, let's get after it then. So now this is a big topic and we are doing the deep dive on this. Okay. This is the deep dive. It's kind of like the deep dish pizza, if you will. It's delicious. It's hearty.
See, I was thinking of scuba diving. We're going to go deeper than snorkeling. Oh, you know, you can just see the fish up above when you snorkel.
But that's what that means. Go down. Okay, yes, all right.
But of course, okay. You're hungry. It's before lunch, so.
Obviously. Yeah, I heard deep dish. Okay, let's break this up. We're going to throw into some different categories.
You organize this for us, Mr. Sorensen. What do you want to do? How do you want to do?
There's a method to the madness. Okay, first you got the crust. No, I'm just kidding.
Gosh.
All right. We're going to talk about why do you want one? We first want to hit that. Like, why do you even want one? Second, how do I get one? And don't be confused and thinking, oh, I can't have a Roth IRA for XYZ. We're going to debunk some of that. How do you get one? There's three different ways in. We're going to hit each way on how do you get a Roth IRA. And then third, we're going to talk about the nuances on getting the money out. Remember the cool thing about the Roth IRA, it's tax-free. And there's also all these little cool perks and tax rules, frankly, that are just these beautiful, juicy, golden nuggets that are really unique to Roth IRAs. So that's how we're going to hit it. We're going to go in those three categories. And I think, Mark, you know, if we don't hit your question or what you want to know about a Roth IRA, you can call up or send us a question for open forum next week.
Yep, open forum next week. So no complaints. Write down your questions. If we miss it, you can bring it up on open forum. Okay, now, Matt, why don't you say why you think they're so cool, and then I'll give my thoughts on why they're so good. So why would you want a Roth IRA, Matt Sorensen?
Okay. If I told you there was one account that you can set up, and every American can have one, and only this account, whenever you invest it, you could get tax-free returns and the money would come out tax-free later at retirement. You would say, that's the first account I'm going to set up. Where can I get that account? And I'm going to put my first savings into that account. Well, basically, that's what a Roth IRA is. There is no other way to make tax-free money. And so, and I've just seen clients that have, I mean, I have clients with nine-figure Roth IRAs. I know I at least have one in that category. I have many with eight-figure Roth IRAs, plenty with seven, and obviously a lot of six-figure accounts. Now, those accounts are tax-free, and those people have been very strategic and smart about putting their best investments and their best deals into a Roth IRA, because if you're going to grow wealth in the most tax-efficient way, you're going to use a Roth IRA.
And you know what's sad is it. There's been a lot of congressional debate, or you'll hear some, the politics on this, where some people think this is just a strategy for the rich, and the rich gets, you know, this is for their savings accounts and it's not fair. Well, here's the thing. I really get frustrated by that, because anybody can have one. You can invest it just like rich people do, and you can use it for retirement. It's asset protected. Very few lawsuits could ever touch it. If you get divorced, you're going to have to split it up. If you get into problems with the IRS, they can tap into it. But even in bankruptcy, the IRA is generally protected in most states. Mm-hmm. So these are wonderful to build no matter what your income level is. And we mentioned Dave Ramsey a little earlier. I just love seeing people put away just whatever they can a month. And I like Matt's point that this should be your first stop on the train, you know, like, boom, I'm going to put it in. Now, I'm a huge fan of the health savings account, which you get a tax deduction to put it in. It grows tax-free, but it only comes out tax-free for medical expenses. The Roth, you can pull it out for anything once you're 59 and a half or you've had it at least 5 years. So now we're just hitting the surface here. We're going to dive in deep, like Matt said. Mm-hmm. Why do I like the Roth? I just love that you can have an account where you can invest in what you know best. And that's obviously a self-directing concept, which you can almost add as another layer on top of the Roth strategy. You can have a Roth. I mean, Merrill Lynch has been selling Roths, and Oppenheimer, and Edward Jones, and you can have a Roth. That's great. And I'm not taking anything away from their sales pitch when it comes to Roths. But when you add the layer of self-directing on top of it, where Matt's got clients with 7 to 8 figure Roths. You know what that means? That means $10 million or more in a Roth. That's nuts. Mm-hmm. And did they get that buying, you know, little GM stock with $5,000? No, they did it investing in what they know best. So I think when I think of what's cool about a Roth, I really think it's the leverage of using the self-directed concept on top of the tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals. That's why I like them.
Yeah. And you'll see there's many more things we love about them as we explain them, because there's all these little cool things and differences that are unique that make these better than any other retirement account too.
Yeah. And let me say one last thing for, again, those that are new to investing at all. I want to say this very basic concept, and then we're going to start digging a little deeper. So one more surface level comment is, you've all heard of a 401k. I think anybody that's over age 21 has heard the term 401k. If I work at a company, they may put money in a 401k, or I can defer it from my paycheck. That is a tax-preferred investment vehicle. Once the money goes in, you generally get to choose how you want to invest it, whatever the company offers by way of mutual funds or stock. Everybody gets that. Well, the Roth is an individual account. It's an account that you can even have with a 401k at work. We're going to talk about how to do that. You can have a Roth account and invest it. But if you leave the job, it goes with you. You can open one being self-employed. You can open one young or old. So a Roth is this tax-preferred vehicle. What you put in the back seat is up to you. You can put whatever you want in it. You're the driver of this Roth. And so it's like a 401k, but it grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. Worth a 401k, you get a tax deduction on the way in, and it grows tax-deferred. When you pull it out, you're going to pay taxes. So that's what's kind of sexy about a Roth. When you look on a table and you compare dollar for dollar over time, tax-free growth always beats out tax-deferred growth, because you can never guesstimate what your tax rate's going to be in the future. So it wins. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I think a lot of people say on the Roth, you know, because a lot of people say, should I do a traditional or should I do a Roth? I'm generally going to be a Roth. Even myself, I have some traditional, I have some Roth. But like, if you can start from scratch and say, what should I do, traditional or Roth? You'd rather do Roth, because in the traditional, sure, I get a tax deduction today, but I pay tax when I grow that account later. So when I harvest, when, you know, the seeds, the money going in, the harvest is what's coming out of the back. And when I hit retirement, I'm paying tax on a large amount as I'm pulling out later. Whereas the Roth, I don't get a tax deduction on the seed I put in, but the harvest comes out tax-free, hopefully the much larger amount that I've grown that account to over time.
And in the long run, you'd like to have a little of both accounts. You want to be getting tax deductions on the way in, building tax-free growth on the other side. Frankly, you want to be a little bit country and you want to be a little bit rock and roll.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, if you're too young to not know with that reference, then you're a child. You're really just a child. You really are. Because for those that know what I'm talking about, a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll, that's Donnie Marie Osmond, baby. The 70s, man, it was alive. It was real. The Donnie and Marie show on a Saturday night, you get out of the shower or the tub and your parents say, come on, sit on the couch. We're going to watch the Lawrence Welk show and Donnie Marie. Woo! Man, those were the good old days.
Man.
Okay. Now, right. Some of you are like, man, Mark Kohler's old. Hey, I'll go surfing with you. I'll show you a thing or two. But
yeah,
I'm just a Renaissance man. I can live both worlds. I look like a millennial, but
yeah,
talk like a, you know, baby boomer. I just got it all.
Yeah. You got the boomer references down. That's for sure. All right.
Okay. So that's why you want a Roth. What's topic number two?
Okay. Well, how do we get one?
Okay.
Okay. Let's break it. Let's go into three. I'm going to hit three ways. We're going to talk about the front door, the back door, of course, and then the side door. Okay.
Did you just use three-way front door and back door all in the same example? Because this is family-friendly show. So I'm just going to leave
Apple might put a rating on us for that. But
okay,
don't think too much into that. I just walked into that. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone. All right, so there's three ways to get into a Roth. All right, okay. So front door. What's our front door?
All right, front door is for those who make just regular new contributions. Okay, this is just the regular Roth IRA. All right. You can put $6,000 in a year. This is for 2019. For 2018, it's $5,500. Okay. 2019 and forward, it's $6,000. Now, here's why the front door is not available to everybody. The front door is not available. Isn't that funny? I'm seeing Mark on the computer just laughing.
I cannot stop laughing over here. I had to mute my mic. Okay, keep going. All right.
Okay. The front door. If you make more than 122,000 single or 193,000 married, you start phasing out. And you cannot make Roth contributions because the IRS says you make too much money. Roth IRAs are not for the rich people. So you cannot get in to a Roth IRA through the front door. All right. Okay.
All right. Now let's talk. Get basic here too. Can I have a 401k at work and still go in through the front door?
Absolutely. Unless you still got to look at what's your income, single, married, that I mentioned, 122 single. This is where the phase out starts. It ends at 137 single. Married starts at 193, ends at 203, where you phase out entirely on the Roth IRA. But I could be maxing out my 401k at work and still do a Roth IRA. Okay. I could max out even a SEP IRA and still do a Roth IRA.
Okay. And I think the strategy here, now this is where it gets deep, people.
I could max out my solo K.
Okay.
And do a Roth IRA.
I'm trying to make a point here. Okay. So here's my point. Don't get me laughing again. Okay. Here's where things get strategic, because you want to get the most bang for your buck. You want to maybe go to work, put in as much as you get to get your match. So let's say the company's doing a 3% match on X dollars. You want to put in every dollar you can to get the match, get double your money. You literally double your money. That's 100% return. You put in $5,000, the company matches it, $7,000, you know, whatever the number is. You put that in, you get your match. And then if you have limited resources, you want to get out and go do your Roth. So that way you're playing both fields and you're getting the best out of this you can. All right.
Absolutely.
I almost said both teams, but I wouldn't have done that because I think ahead of what I might say that could be inappropriate. You obviously don't. There's kids in the car, Matt. Okay. All right.
It's over their heads, so don't you worry.
Okay. All right. This is like The Simpsons. If you watch The Simpsons, I watch it with teenagers and I'm laughing. They're like, what's so funny? Never mind. Keep watching.
Yeah. The Simpsons sounds like Rick and Morty. That's what my kids watch, which is hilarious, by the way. But it's a little adult. You got to be careful. Have you watched Rick and Morty?
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm too old.
It's the new age Simpsons. Okay.
Country and rock.
Front door. Here's another couple things on.
I watch The Golden Girls with my mom. I sit up on the couch. We get some popcorn. Betty White. Oh, she's.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Golden Girls.
Bev, and I don't even remember their names.
Yeah. I visited my mom this week and I'm like, what are you doing? Watch Golden Girls. Come sit down. My mom has Alzheimer's, so I can just watch it. I just put it over and over again. We loop it. Sweet. Yeah.
Well, you're such a good son. That's good. okay. I want to throw one other thing on the front door. You can also do spousal contributions. So if you have a non-working spouse, you can make a Roth IRA contribution for them from your own income. So you can do a Roth IRA, what's called spousal, even if they don't have their own earned income.
Oh, wow. That's good.
You can make a spousal contribution.
Okay. Now on contributions, you're going there, Matt. You want to throw down? All right. Let's talk kids right now. Any of you that maybe had children last year that you compensated through your business, you got a little extra money this spring, throw $1,000 in each one of their Roth IRAs or whatever their earned income is. So if my 15-year-old Molly made $4,000 last year, I can put $4,000 in her Roth for last year. And if you've got a 15-year-old and you can be disciplined enough to just put $1,000 away for the next 10 years, they're going to have $1 million by the time they're age 60. It's crazy. Again, watch Dave Ramsey compound interest video. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So kids, spouse, yourself, front door.
Yep. Absolutely. Love it.
All right. Going to the side door. Or you like going to the back door first?
Let's do the back door next. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, for those of you who are like, well, Matt, I'm married. I make more than $200,000 a year, or I'm single and I make more than $130,000 a year. I'm not in on the front door. I'm locked out. Yep. We got another option here. The back door. The back door is what it is. It's not as cool as it sounds. It's okay. It's not as cool as it sounds. It's a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution that you convert to Roth. See, the the income restriction there on the Roth IRA is...
It only applies to contributions. It doesn't apply to conversions.
Exactly. And so a conversion, so I can make... What you do is you just go set up a traditional IRA. You make contributions to it. Now, if you say, if you go tell your IRA custodian, hey, these are non-deductible contributions, they don't know what you're talking about, they don't care. Frankly, it doesn't matter. You're just making contributions.
You can walk into your bank.
Exactly. That's what I used to do. I used to just go into my bank and I'd put them in for me, put them in for my spouse. Now I do it at Directed IRA, of course, directedira.com. We know all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just walk into my bank. That's what I do. And now it becomes non-deductible on your tax return. I believe it's form 8606.
Which a normal person would never do.
Right. Normal person would never do. But you're doing it because it's only going to be a non-deductible traditional IRA for one day. Month. I like to do it. I'm just go a practical step why I do it a month. I'm going to give you a reason why.
Oh.
One, because I ran into this problem myself. Two, I read some good articles that have people ran into this article themselves. And three, I've gone over it with other clients on the phone. They're like, yeah, that happened to me. Here's one of the problems on the backdoor Roth IRA. This is particularly if you're at the local bank setting up your traditional IRA and you want to convert it to Roth and you got, you know, bozo whatever guy that's worked there for a month that's like trying to set up your account. Here's what happened to me. This happened to my wife's account. We set up the traditional IRA and I said, Kate, I want to convert it now to Roth. Okay, what does he do? He closes the account, takes a distribution, sets up a new Roth account, puts the money in the Roth IRA. Okay, he's a moron. So I was like, that's not, it needs to be converted. What you want to do is wait a month so you get an actual statement on the traditional. That way they won't close the account and do this dumb process. That's why I like to do that. You wait a month, get a statement, then you call back and do the actual conversion from traditional and the money goes into a separate Roth account. Now, if you do it at Directed IRA, we're not going to mess it up. But I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, that's happened to me. I've read good articles on it that also recommend the waiting the month. And I've seen other clients run into that same problem.
And I like it because if you're going to launder money, you've got to let it, percolate. You got to let it clean for a little bit.
There's a little rinse cycle in there. You know,
there's a rinse cycle.
Don't rush the rinse cycle. Okay.
Okay. I've heard that one before. Now, what you can do then is convert as much as you want. Now let me say this simply stated. If you want a Roth IRA, you want to put in $6,000 this year. Mm-hmm. If your income's too high, you're like, I can't play in the game. No, no, no. You run around to the back door. You get over there and you're like, hey, I want in. You knock on the door and they say, oh, we'll let you in if you have a traditional IRA. Oh, I've got one. I went down to the bank and opened up this traditional IRA. I've had it for a month.
$6,000 in. It's still the same $6,000 contribution limit. If you're over 50, you get an extra $1,000, by the way.
Yep. And I got my $6,000. I got my traditional IRA and they go, okay, you can come in, but we're going to convert it on your way through the door. And so you walk in through the door, you file a form. It says, I convert this IRA to a Roth. Now, the beauty of this is you can convert as much money as you want. You could walk in with $1 million and convert it to Roth. You could never put $1 million into a Roth, but you can convert $1 million from a traditional to a Roth. You could take $1 million from a 401k, roll it to an IRA, and then convert it to a Roth. In 3 days, you've just moved a 401k into a Roth, $1 million. Now, you got to pay tax on that. When you convert, you got to pay tax.
Yeah.
You're good.
Love it. And that's going to be the side door, which we're going to hit here in a second. But let me say a couple other things on this backdoor strategy. First, when I convert that $6,000, let's say I dropped in the $6,000, I'm now converting a month later over to Roth. I don't pay tax on that because it was non-deductible.
That's right.
I didn't take a deduction on it. So I don't have to worry about the tax on the conversion. When we hit the side door in a second here, There's some tax, but that's one cool thing doing the back door is you didn't get a deduction. So the nice thing is you don't pay tax when you convert it next month. The other thing that's a snag, and I need to say this because technically, you know, let's be some honest here. Some people get stuck in the backdoor Roth because what happens when you want to convert from the traditional to Roth, when you threw that $6,000 in the traditional and you want to convert to Roth, what the IRS requires is that you must convert regular traditional deductible dollars first.
Mm.
So if I've got a traditional,
okay.
So if I got a traditional IRA sitting out there, that's just a regular traditional IRA I got had took deductions on, or I rolled it out of an old 401k, and now I just got a traditional IRA sitting out there, and I did this back door, I cannot convert that non-deductible $6,000 I just threw in that I was hoping to do back door until I first convert my other traditional IRA dollars. Now, you can have traditional 401k dollars, and that's all fine. Don't worry about that. It's just traditional IRA dollars. The deductible ones must get converted first before the non-deductible. If you don't have deductible regular traditional IRA dollars, don't worry. You just go straight to the non-deductible one you just threw in. So that's one little snag you can run into.
Yeah. And here's the reality. The practical thing is people that want a Roth, just convert current traditional money first. The backdoor Roth is for when you don't have a traditional or can't get in the front door for the Roth. But if you're sitting on traditional money, this brings up the word chunking. And yes, the word chunk makes you think of Goonies and Steven Spielberg, the first movie with an SUV driving on the beach of Oregon coast.
Oh, I think I love that. I think they called it ORV. It's an ORV, an ORV.
That's right. ORV, off-road vehicle.
Off-road vehicle, ORV. Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's good. Well, you can chunk brothers. It.
Yeah. Yeah, you can chunk it.
Yeah. So what you do is sometimes clients say, well, now think about this, people. Let's say you've got 150 grand in this old IRA from a 401k job you had 10 years ago. It's just sitting there. It's languishing, making 3 or 4%. You're bugged. You want to self-direct it and you want a Roth. So you want to double kind of attack this from both sides. You want self-directing and you want the Roth. So you roll the traditional IRA over to our directed IRA trust company, FDIC insured, you know, controlled by the Arizona Banking Commission. So you get your money in there, directed IRA, boom. Now you convert to a Roth, but you don't want to convert maybe the whole 150 grand. You're going to chunk at it. You're going to do 50 grand this year, 50 grand next year, and 50 grand the year after. And the reason why is because that 50 grand may put you, 52 grand might put you in a higher tax bracket. So when you do this, you want to look at what's my AGI, what tax bracket am I in? Ooh, I better chunk this in six pieces. I'll do 25 grand instead of 50 grand or whatever. So you can kind of keep that conversion to a point where you're not paying a huge amount in taxes. So that's chunking where we like to do it in pieces.
Yeah. So this is, of course, the side door, the Roth conversion. If you already got traditional dollars, now you're paying tax. So this one stings. And I think that's a big apprehension for a lot of people, because you might be like, well, why the hell doesn't everybody just do this? Why don't I just go to Roth immediately? Well, you're going to get a tax bill. Okay. If I converted 100 grand and let's say I'm in a 30% federal bracket and a 5% state bracket, you know, I'm paying $35,000 to convert that 100 grand. And the reason why is you got a deduction when you put that money in. And so the IRS is like, you want to move to Roth? You better pony up now. So it hurts. And in the first year, you know, it stings, but the payoff is in 10 years. When you look at your account, you've made some good investments and it's grown, whether you hit a home run or you even just made some base hits along the way, your account's gone up. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I converted to Roth. And so that is why the side door, more clients should be looking at it. And I even had a client just a week ago, who's like, I got $1 million in a traditional IRA. I want to start self-directing some of it, but I want to do Roth. And he was just like, I'm just going to convert the whole million. And I'm like, well, what are you ready to invest it into? And he's like, well, I got a $100,000 deal here. Maybe I'll get another one next year. I don't know. And I'm like, let's just break off the $100,000 now for this great deal that you have that you think's got a really high return. Convert that to Roth. And you hit your base hits in your traditional, but every sweetheart deal that comes through that looks really enticing, you think you're going to get a high return on, run that through your Roth. And he was like, love it. Let's just do that. Let me, I can take the hit on 100 grand now. And if I, next year, I'm like, I need more firepower in my Roth IRA, I'll convert some more. But if this will work for the deal I got today on the table, hopefully it gets my big return and I've got my little kitty, so to speak, of my Roth IRA that can take down the great deals that I run across. Yeah. So, you don't have to go all in. Like Mark said, you can be a little country and rock and roll, you know, but sometimes you got to be rock and roll. That's the Roth IRA on the really good deals that can really maximize your account and build massive long-term wealth, because that's where you want it. Comes out tax-free in the end.
All right. Now, believe it or not, that is not everything. The strategies start to get crazy because we have clients that come with creative ideas for self-directing. We're just going to start having some fun here. So there's all sorts of little strategies you might consider. For example, you can set up an LLC that can be owned by part of your Roth, part of your traditional, part of your 401k, part of your health savings account. You could take an LLC and take your five kids' Roth IRAs, your spouse's IRA, and a SEP and put that in an LLC. So the beauty is you can really take these accounts, combine them with others. Because a lot of people go, well, it's only $6,000 in a Roth. Well, hold it. Maybe you've got an old 401k that we can convert. Maybe you've got some traditional money we can convert. Maybe we pool all these accounts with your family and friends and create an LLC. Now you've got enough to really do some big time investing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can do that? Yeah, we've been doing it for 15 years at our firm. And I'll give my partner a little kudo here, is that literally he is the nationwide expert on this. There's not another attorney in the country that's written more on this topic and speaks more about it than anywhere in the country. I mean, that's amazing. You're listening to that podcast. So Matt Sorensen, we love you.
Yeah. In this topic. Yeah. Even so though for those example, that love to self-direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't like my examples. Yeah.
Well, even though your examples are highly inappropriate, we still appreciate
it. I thought you were still complaining about the deep dish. Okay. This was the sexual innuendo that was unintended.
Yeah. I don't know where your mind was. Is that what it was? I was thinking something else. Okay. All right. So, now what's another creative strategy? One I love, Matt, you've got to talk about the inherited Roth IRA.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll hit that one. I got many more.
Fine.
But let's talk about that one. Okay. Think of the one thing you'd want to inherit. If I could pick any one thing, if you can say, give me anything that's worth $100,000 today, what's the one thing you'd want to inherit?
Okay, $100,000 cabin, $100,000 boat, or $100,000 Roth IRA?
$100,000 Roth IRA, any day.
Really?
Okay.
Tell us why.
Here's why. Okay, when you inherit a Roth IRA, what starts happening is you end up having to take RMD on it, which is required minimum distributions. But let's say you're like me. I'm 38. Yeah, I'm 38. Okay. How long is that until I'm 70 and a half? I don't know. You're the accountant, Kohler. 42 years? Sorry. Okay. 42 years until I reach 70 and a half. No, 32.
It's 32 years.
And 32. Okay. 32 years.
Yeah. 32 and a half.
Okay. All right. So I have to take the value of that account over 32 and a half years, and I have to start taking RMD. For a $100,000 account, I might have to take $2,000. Not even that. I'm going to take less. It's going to be small. Okay.
Before you go further, slow. For the people that are new to this, let me make an important point. If you have an IRA and you are now 70 years old and you still have this IRA, you've been able to live on Social Security, some other savings, you're just frugal, and you've got a $100,000 IRA sitting there.
Traditional IRA.
70 and a half years old, the government says, guess what? You got to start taking at least something out of your IRA. We're going to do some math based on life expectancy and how much is in your IRA. And you got to do the math and take this out every year and get taxed on it. Because we don't want you to die with $100,000. We want you to start using it. So believe it or not, the government forces you to start taking money out of your IRA. It's called a required minimum distribution. And at the end of the year, we have a lot of clients call us. Not only is November and December crazy for all of our other tax planning, we've got clients wanting to calculate their RMDs. And they got to take out the money or there's a penalty. Well, if you inherit someone's Roth IRA, if you have a Roth IRA and you're 70 years old, there's no required minimum distributions. The government can't force you to take it. And if you do take it, there's no tax anyway. It's like amazing. Yeah. So if you inherit a Roth IRA. So that's
the tip in and of itself. No required minimum distributions for a Roth IRA. Traditional IRAs, required minimum distribution. SEP IRA, required minimum distribution. 401k, required minimum distribution. Even Roth 401ks have required minimum distribution. Roth IRA, no required minimum distribution.
Wow. Okay. Now, if Matt chooses door number one, a paid for cabin in the mountains. Door number two, a boat, a houseboat worth $100,000.
We're back on the doors?
Yeah. door number three. See, okay. Look, he's trying to make this show complete. I hope you people realize my integrity here to not do something like, I can't believe you brought that up again. Unbelievable. Okay. All right. Door number one was a $100,000 cabin. Door number two is a $100,000 houseboat. Door number three, $100,000 Roth IRA, which grandma died 75 mm-hmm. years old, just sitting on this thing. And she thought her favorite grandson, Matt Sorensen, he can choose this or the cabin mm-hmm. or the boat. Matt takes the 100 grand. His sister and his brother, they take the houseboat and the cabin, and they thought they got lucky. Matt was an idiot. He took this $100,000 Roth. But Matt gets this Roth, and he has to take RMDs, but mm-hmm. over his lifetime of his age, not grandma's. That's mm-hmm. what, so that's the stage. I wanted to reset the table here, because for some of you that have never heard of this concept, freak, I was in my master's program of accounting before I learned how to even explain it. They're tricky, but you get this RMD thing going, but if you inherit a Roth IRA, you might take this 100 grand and divide it over 32 years. And I mean, your minimum distribution might be 5 grand a year, but you've still got 95,000 sitting there.
That's me way, it's very small. But here's what's cool about it. Okay, so I got to take some money out every year. But if I don't want to, I can leave everything else invested. It grows still tax-free. I've got this tax-free little kitty that I inherited that I'm hopefully growing. Maybe I'm getting it to 200, 300. By the time I'm 50 or 60, you know, maybe I've doubled or tripled it. And it's still coming back out tax-free.
Anytime.
And if I ever want the money, let's say I'm 45 and I got a midlife crisis and I'm like, I want to buy a Tesla. I take it out whenever I want. I don't have to, there's no early withdrawal penalty in a Roth IRA. I don't have to wait until I'm 59 and a half when on an inherited Roth IRA. So if I want to drain the thing at any point, I take it back out. It's super cool.
Oh man. My question is, really a Tesla? That's what you do in your midlife crisis.
You know, my daughter thinks they're super cool, my 18-year-old. And so we were like looking up how much they are, because I thought they were like 200 grand. Apparently they're only like 80. I thought they were seriously like 200. But the Model 3 or whatever is, I don't know, it's going to be like 40 or something. New, you know, I don't know. So I don't like the way Teslas look. So I'm all about the environment and everything, but they got to look like they're not from Tron, you know, like, I don't know. Looks a little too futuristic for me.
All right. Okay. Well, a little digression there, but okay. Now I want to throw this out. Some of you may think, well, that's pretty cool, but can I share some of this?
I thought you were going to give me kudos on throwing out Tron. Oh, that was another movie reference. I mean, it wasn't a line. You know, it was a good throwback.
It was. Yeah.
Okay.
It was. All right. I liked it. That was good. I'm sorry. I was thinking of what I was going to say instead, but
that was more important.
We're all over the place. We've got some good movie quotes today. We got Goonies in there. We got Tron. That was good. Now, here's the
Tommy
thing.
Tommy Boy earlier.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the thing with this Roth IRA that you've inherited. The beauty is think of the sister. Matt's sister took the cabin and she thinks this thing's going to be worth a couple hundred grand. So mm-hmm. she's like, Matt, you're stupid. You took the $100,000 Roth. I got this cabin and I know I can sell it for more in a year or two. Well, when she goes to sell that cabin, she has to pay capital gains tax on the increase. But Matt mm-hmm. could take his Roth and go buy another cabin on the same lake and it goes up in value. And when he sells that cabin, he doesn't pay any tax and he can take out the money tomorrow. He doesn't have to wait till he's 59 and a half. He can take it out any time. Yep. Now he's got to recalculate the RMD every year, but it's based on a 32-year life span. I mean, it's crazy. So you've got this amazing little machine that's generating tax-free income. Think of anything you can buy, make money, and you don't pay tax with an inherited Roth. So Matt, do we share what our ethically challenged clients do sometimes? You want to share that?
This has happened. We've seen some clients do this, and I'm not recommending this. I'm only saying this as an illustration of how much people really like this strategy of the inherited Roth. There's literally people out there that go to others who are like have a terminal illness. Maybe it's someone they know or someone they get a contact, and they have them go open up a Roth IRA in their name, make a contribution, and list this then they're like, list me as the beneficiary, because when you die, I want to inherit this Roth IRA. Literally, there's people that go out there and do that. And because they want this little, so even if they just inherit one with 6,000, their hope is, Well, I can invest that and grow it. And over my lifetime, I have this account. I can pull the money out whenever I want. It can still grow. I don't need to wait till I'm 59 and a half to take it out, but I can grow it. And it's all tax-free now without the restrictions on 59 and a half.
Yeah, so. And even though we don't want you, you know, meandering down the halls of the critical care unit at the hospital, offering $10,000 for these $6,000 IRAs, it is not a bad idea to say to grandma or grandpa, say, yeah, hey, you need a little money. Can I give you a couple $1,000s? And I'll give you $8,000. Put six in this. Well, and they're over 55 and a half or 55. So we'd presume they could put in $7,000. So you'd go to them and say, I'm going to give you $10,000. You keep three, go buy yourself that, you know, go on a cruise. I love you, grandma and grandpa, but set up this little Roth IRA, drop $7,000 in it and make me the beneficiary. Nothing wrong with that. Help out grandma and grandpa. And if do that for you, your spouse and your kid. Grandma and grandpa are like, okay, you're an idiot, but okay, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm an idiot, but grandma, we love you. And then grandma and grandpa die, your whole family has tax-free accounts that you can pull out anytime as you invest. Insane.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, what else is on your list, Mr. Sorensen?
All right, here's what else is cool. Think about this for your, you know, maybe you're like, you know what, guys, you're going too far on this. I just want to have a tax efficient account. I can start saving some money. I want to throw $6,000 in, maybe even my kids' accounts. I want to just throw $6,000 in. But what if I need the money? Isn't it locked up in an IRA? Well, in a regular IRA it is. But in a Roth IRA, when you contribute money, let's say you did the back door even, or let's even say you put in money for your kids. You got a teenager working for you or it's got a job on the side, you're helping them throw money into a Roth. They've put in 3 years of contributions. They had $18,000 in there. And now they're in college. They need the money for something. They want to go study abroad in Europe. And well, here's what they can do. If they've made $6,000 contributions of $18,000, they can pull out their contributions without tax or penalty. Now, if that $18,000 of contributions has grown to, let's say, $25,000, the other seven is earnings and growth. That has to stay in or you get penalties to take it out. But they can take out the contributions without having to pay taxes or penalty on it. So it's a great savings account. That $6,000 you put in there, if you need it back later, you get it back out.
Penalty-free. Yep.
So it's a great way to save.
It is a great way to save. I like that as a college savings account because you can be building a retirement account for your children, teaching them the concept of savings. And then when you get to college, you can pull it out tax-free, penalty-free, the contributions for college and let the rest of the money ride.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say
craps or is that in craps where you let it ride?
Let it ride? I think there's many bets in Vegas or like, you know, casino games that you let it ride, but.
Okay. I just wanted to know if there's some good parallel I could make an example for our Vegas clients. They appreciate that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the little things, Matt.
I think it's craps is the one where you don't want a seven rolled, I believe. I think that's the thing for craps.
I'm too cheap to gamble.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's say you did the side door, okay? And you converted to Roth from traditional, or even you did the backdoor Roth IRA, which required a conversion. Now to get that money back out though, you have to wait 5 years. The IRS does not let you convert from traditional to Roth and say, all right, I want to take this Roth IRA money back that I converted. You got to wait 5 years. Because the IRS knows if you had a traditional IRA that you wanted to get it out and you had a 10% early withdrawal penalty, you just say, well, I'll just convert it to Roth. I know I got to pay the tax. And then I'll take them out in step two a day later and I'll avoid the early withdrawal penalty. No. So they locked you down on a 5-year rule to convert to get it back out with having to pay tax or penalty. But it is still possible.
Okay. Like it.
Okay. I have one more. I mean, we got more to say, but I got one more plan that I trying to squeeze in here.
Okay.
I think we kind of mentioned this, but you can contribute at any age. If you're in your 70s, and I love it. I have clients calling me all the time. They're still working. They're still going after it. They love it. They're staying busy. They're like, can I still contribute to a Roth IRA? Yeah. You don't. 70s, there's no
60.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You could still throw it into a Roth IRA, still grow it. You got many years ahead of you, lots of years of tax-free growth. Yeah. And feel free to list Matt Sorensen as your beneficiary.
I can't believe you threw that in. I just, your ethics on the show.
Maybe this is a secondary. I'll be a contingent beneficiary, you know. Yeah. Maybe if your first loved one isn't around, list me second.
Gosh, suggesting that people, you know, set up accounts for terminally ill people. I mean, this is really a new
level. I thought I threw a disclaimer on there and said, I'm not recommending this. I'm just illustration purposes of how
much. No one listens to disclaimers. They hear what they want to hear.
Wow.
Well, this has been awesome. So folks, if you've liked this, what we're going to try to do this year is dive deep into a few more topics. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, we think some podcasts just hit the surface, maybe because they're trying to sell something, or maybe they just don't know.
They don't know. They're reading Google articles. They're just Googling stuff and giving you like the basics that they can read online. They're not experts. We are. We're going to do the deep dive.
Yeah. I like it.
Like scuba, not deep dish pizza, guys. Okay.
Remember. I like it. Well, if any of you, I'm going to take us out, Matt. Is that all right? Anything else? Final words?
I'm going to turn the baton over to you.
Okay. I will say out
the last 400 meters.
Okay. I will say this. If any of you have a follow-up question or are in finding this topic helpful, please reach out, give us a 5-star review, and also join us next week for a live broadcast of our open forum show, which we do every 3 weeks. And we take questions from around the country, around the world oftentimes. And we're very honored to have you participate. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter where you get updates and deadlines and videos and articles. And we've got our self-directed IRA summit coming up on June 1st in Chicago. There'll be a live broadcast for $100. You can watch it online or come attend in person. Lunch will be included. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great place in Chicago. And we'll tell you more about that. And it's in the newsletter. So you can get registered for our self-directed annual summit. And we appreciate you watching, listening, whatever you're doing. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.